Our New Testament scripture reading comes from Romans 12. So then, my friends, because of God's great mercy to us, I appeal to you. Offer yourselves as living sacrifice to God, dedicated to his service and pleasing to him. This is the true worship that you should offer. Do not conform yourself to the standards of this world, but let God transform you inwardly by a complete change of your mind. Then you will be able to know the will of God, what is good and is pleasing to him and is perfect. And because of God's gracious gift to me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you should. Instead, be modest in your thinking and judge yourself according to the amount of faith that God has given you. We have many parts in the one body, and all these parts have different functions. In the same way, though we are many, we are one body in union with Christ, and we are all joined to each other as different parts of one body. So we are to use our different gifts in accordance with the grace that God has given us. If our gift is to speak God's message, we should do it according to the faith that we have. If it is to serve, we should serve. If it is to teach, we should teach. If it is to encourage others, we should do so. Whoever shares with others should do it generously. Whoever has authority should work hard. Whoever shows kindness to others should do it cheerfully. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Good morning. I have my tissues because you always know I need those. I'm ready. Happy Labor Day weekend. It has been said that Labor Day is the unofficial end to summer. I've seen some people debating that it is still summer for like 20 more days. But it's the unofficial end of summer and the beginning of the meteorological fall. It's a time when the stores start changing everything to fall. Summer's over, time to move to fall. It's pumpkin spice everything season. It's my favorite time of year. Since tomorrow is Labor Day, I hope that many of you who are still in the workforce have the day off. I hope you can rest from your labors. After all, that's why it was started. An honor and a way to honor and pay tribute to those in our country who have worked hard, made this prosperous, and have brought strength and integrity to our land. This day's for you. But it's changed through the years because some of the hardest working people I know will be at work tomorrow. People who work in department stores and restaurants, and this grocery store manager I know will be at work tomorrow. Fire departments, hospitals, all those places, they don't shut down. They keep running. Many people, though, need a day off. They need a day off from the daily grind. They need to step back, and if you're honest, it's because they aren't too happy with their work. Their place of employment has become a place they have to go instead of a place they want to go. How many people, I wonder, would jump at a chance to live out that 1977 Johnny Paycheck song that says, take this job and shove it, because I'm not working here no more. But it's hard to walk away from a job, at least one that pays the bills. Still, maybe there's a way out. Did you hear about the two office assistants who worked for a large corporation, but they desperately wanted out of their job? So one day they went to lunch with their boss, and they wanted to tell their boss at lunch their discontent with work. We'll name these two Michelle and Katie, just for reference. On the way to lunch, they find this brass container. This old brass container. And Michelle starts polishing this container. And out of it, a genie appears in a purple cloud of smoke. And the genie was so happy to be released that he said, okay, I'm going to give all three of you one wish. So Michelle said, Okay. I want to live in a beautiful beach in Jamaica with a sailboat and enough money to make me happy the rest of my life. I don't want to ever work for this terrible, no good, awful bum of a boss again. Just like that, poof, Michelle's transported to her location. Her wish is granted. Well, Katie was pretty impressed by that, and she said, I want to be making millions of dollars. I want penthouses in New York and Hong Kong and Paris. I want to travel the whole world. I want to be happy for the rest of my life. And I don't want to work for this no good, lazy bum of a boss ever again. Just like that, Katie's wish was granted. So the genie looks at the boss and says, okay, it's your turn. And the boss says, I want those two back in the office by 2 p.m. Wish granted. I'd say they're going to have a pretty rude awakening when they get back to work. Unfortunately, many people feel that way about their job. They are unhappy and they want out. But it's hard to find a way to just be whisked away from it all. Each year, a nonprofit research group does a study of job satisfaction. They've been doing that since 1987. And since that time, in every survey, job dissatisfaction levels have risen. It is said that in this day and age, that 50% of Americans are unhappy in their jobs. 50%, half of the population. That's a lot of unhappy people. So why are they so discontent? Well, it might include things like unfair wages or unfair business practices, maybe demanding bosses or working with difficult people. But I think an overwhelmingly distinct reason that so many people are unhappy is because they simply haven't found or are not working in the vocation that they want to go to every day. They haven't found a career where they can express themselves and be who they were called to be. They're not making a difference. They're not finding that place where God wants them to be. They haven't found their place. It's been said that if you choose a job you love, you'll never work a day in your life. Finding that job where it doesn't feel like work, though, doesn't mean you don't have to put in a lot of time and effort and energy. But it does mean that you're doing something meaningful. It doesn't mean that it'll be easy all the time, but it will be meaningful. So what does it mean that when you find your calling in the workforce, will you be expending energy or will you be making a difference in productive ways? It'll also make a difference in your joy level and how you feel about going to work every day. Finding what you love depends on a lot of your gifts and your talents and your ability and being able to match those with a career and a place where you can put them to good use. Once you match those talents and those abilities with a place where you can naturally work, your satisfaction level will go way up. You'll find that dream job. The same rings true in church. When you discover the place that God calls you to specifically serve, and you match that with your spiritual gifts, then you're going to find that you're fulfilled and content and joyful in what you do in the church. You will be using those spiritual gifts. I've been asked a lot of questions through the years about spiritual gifts. I've had lots of questions myself about spiritual gifts. What does all this mean? It's not a topic that has a lot of easy answers or one comprehensive list in the Bible that lists all the gifts that God has given you spiritually. But it is something that I feel very passionate about that is very important to study and learn. So in the remainder of the time that we have, we're going to look at those spiritual gifts that are listed in the Bible. For not all of them, though. But first, let's look at Corinthians. If you'll open your Bible, turn to 1 Corinthians 12, starting in verse 1. We're going to read through verse 14 and look a little deeper at this phenomenon of spiritual gifts. Now, concerning what you wrote about the gifts from the Holy Spirit, I want you to know the truth about them, my friends. You know that while you were still heathen, you were led astray in many ways to the worship of lifeless idols. I want you to know that no one who is led by God's Spirit can say a curse on Jesus, and no one can confess Jesus is Lord without being guided by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit gives them. There are different ways of serving, but the Lord is served. There are different abilities to perform service, but the same God gives ability to all for their particular service. The Spirit's presence is shown in some way in each person for the good of all. The Spirit gives one person a message of wisdom, while to another person the same Spirit gives a message full of knowledge. One and the same Spirit gives faith to one person, while another person he gives the power to heal. The Spirit gives one person the power to work miracles, to another the gift of speaking God's message, and to yet another, the ability to tell the difference between the gifts that come from the Spirit and those that do not. To one person, he gives the ability to speak in strange tongues, and to another, he gives the ability to explain what it said. But it is one and the same Spirit who does this all. As he wishes, he gives a different gift, to each person. Christ is like a single body, which has many parts. It is still one body, even though it is made up of different parts. In the same way, all of us, whether Jews or Gentiles, whether slave or free, have been baptized into one body by the same Spirit. And we have all been given the one Spirit to drink. For the body itself is not made up of only one part, but of many parts. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So I have some questions that I'm going to go through this morning that I've been asked and I've had myself that I'm going to explore with you this morning. First of all, what are spiritual gifts? Well, spiritual gifts are from the Holy Spirit and given to all those who have accepted Christ as their Savior. I read that one person said they are supernatural graces. I like that term, supernatural graces, that are given to believers that cannot be earned or bought or even requested. They are given freely, just as God's grace is given to you freely. They are given to those who don't deserve them and who will never even use them. They're given as gifts. God gives these spiritual gifts individually and specifically. Every person who has received Christ has received at least one, and more than likely, more than one spiritual gift. They're given this for the benefit of the church universal, not for their own good. They're given it because of God's love. Even though everyone receives at least one gift of the Spirit, no one receives them all. The church needs each person who is gifted to come together and form one body to go about his work. Paul said in his letter to the Romans and to the church at Corinth, that we are one body in union with Christ. We're joined together with other parts of the body. And each body part is needed. We need each person to come together for the work of Christ, to fulfill the mission that has been set before this church in the world. Spiritual gifts are not given for the good of the individual, but instead for the good of the church. They're not meant to make one person stand out or be recognized above anyone else. And they're also different from your natural talents and abilities. We all have different things that we're talented to do. I cannot sing, but many people in this room can sing. But that's not your spiritual gift. But your natural talents and abilities, when paired with your spiritual gifts, will make amazing ministry happen. If you have the natural ability to sing, and you couple that with the gift of encouragement, then your voice will make a difference in somebody's life. Or if you're able to paint beautiful pictures and you couple that with the gift of teaching, you can teach a class on how worship and art can go together. The possibilities are endless when you pair your spiritual gifts with your natural talents. So the second question, why should we know and use our spiritual gifts? What does it matter? Well, the answer lies in that Romans passage that Phil read, when he said, "So then, my friends, because of God's great mercy, I appeal to you, offer yourselves as a living sacrifice, dedicated to His service and pleasing to Him." We should use our spiritual gifts and know what they are for His purpose and because of God's mercy and because of what He's done for us. He wants us to be a living sacrifice for Him. He goes on to say that when we live for Christ, we are offering our truest and best form of worship. When we're changed by the Holy Spirit and conformed and transformed by His grace, we can offer ourselves to live out His purpose. Part of that commitment means you use your spiritual gifts for His kingdom. Some have confused the spiritual gifts with the fruit of the Spirit. And you've heard the children sing songs about the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, humility, and self-control. These are things we should all strive to have. These are characteristics that Christ gives to you when you follow Him. We can have all of those characteristics if we're following Him. Spiritual gifts are given by God, but the fruits of the Spirit are produced in us when we follow Him. When someone uses their gifts for the glory of God, you see it manifested in their life, and you can tell that they have found their place in the body of Christ. They're enthusiastic, they're happy, they're joyful, they're peaceful. They refuse to let circumstances deflate their joy. Here are a couple examples that I've seen. I told Pauline Powell that I was going to talk about her today. She didn't know that till she walked in the door. But she crochets these blankets and these booties for the babies that come into the church. We don't announce that. We don't tell a lot of people that. But she calls and says, "How many sets of baby booties do I need to make?" And through the years, she has gifted lots of babies with these gifts. She doesn't do that for recognition. She doesn't do that for even the parents to call and say thank you. She does it because she's taken her natural ability to crochet, which is amazing, and she's paired that with her gift of encouragement. She remembers what it's like to be a new mom and to have a new baby. And she wants to bring a little joy to those parents. Here's another example that involves my husband, and y'all can't tell him I'm talking about him either. But he has the spiritual gift of helping others. He's a helper. That's the way he also shows his love. So at the block party, while he was helping with the food, he was singing. Now, y'all, a lot of y'all know my husband. Phil's eyes are like, really? He was singing about walking tacos. So my quiet, shy husband, who rarely says anything, was joyful because he had found his place in helping. And for whatever reason, in food service and helping with Jeannie, that's his joy. Finding your place brings joy. Third question we want to talk about. How do we find out what our spiritual gifts are? Maybe all of you in this room have taken these spiritual gift inventories. Who has taken those spiritual gift inventories? Oh, just a handful of people. But that's the first way you can find out what your spiritual gifts are. There's these very detailed spiritual gift tests or inventories. It's a printed sheet that gives you questions you can answer. Statements that you can say, yes, that applies to me, or no way does that apply to me. It might ask things like, I enjoy visiting the sick and the elderly. Or, I have the ability to make biblical truths understood to others. So you prayerfully take this spiritual gifts inventory, this test, and it helps you to determine by your answers exactly what your spiritual gifts are. A second way to determine your spiritual gifts, perhaps something that can go along with your spiritual gifts inventory, is to listen to what others are saying about you. Ask somebody, ask a trusted friend, what gifts do you see in me? Often, it is very hard to see the gifts in yourself, but other people will see them. And if you have a trusted Christian friend that you can ask, you'll find those. I'll never forget the day that Joe Yelton walked into my office, and I was in the front office, and he said, I think God's calling you to the ministry. And I said, no way. Well, that worked out well for me, didn't it? But he then said, take that home, take that information and study that and pray about that and see what you think God is saying to you, not what Melissa is saying to you. And I did that over the course of several months. Ask a Christian confidant and friend about what gifts they see, and then pray. The third way to pinpoint and definitely figure out your spiritual gifts, along with those other two ways, is by experience. You may never know that you have the gift of teaching children unless you try it. You may never know that you have the gift of encouraging someone or preaching until you try it. Maybe your gift doesn't involve teaching, but it involves helping others. And you wanted to help in the nursery, or in the sound booth, or as an usher. Try it. If God is leading you there, you will know. A final word about discovering your spiritual gifts. God didn't ask you which ones you preferred when he gave them to you. He gave you the gifts he wanted you to use. Be open to the Spirit calling you and leading you through that gift and with that gift. It might be something you never dreamed that He would call you to do. Ultimately, after taking the inventory and talking to a friend, experience will be the true guide to determining your spiritual gifts. Don't be afraid to try something new. Don't be afraid of failure. If you're using your spiritual gifts, it's all beneficial for His kingdom. He never promised it would always be easy, or that you didn't have to step outside that comfort zone just a little bit. But He did promise that when you submit to Him, the needs of the church, the world, will be met, and He will be glorified. Fourth question regarding spiritual gifts. What happens if I neglect my spiritual gifts? What if I don't use them? 1 Timothy 4 says in 14 through 16, "Do not neglect the gift you have, which was given to you by prophecy when the council of elders laid their hands on you. Practice these things. Immerse yourself in them so that you may see progress. Keep a close watch on yourself and on the teaching of this. Persist in this, for by doing so, you will save both yourself and your hearers." Paul saw that Timothy had a great gift of teaching, and he was very clear that that spiritual gift should not be neglected. He told him to practice it and immerse himself in that. He then went on to say, by doing so, others will be saved. That makes the spiritual gift of teaching he had very important. If we fail to use our gifts, the entire body of Christ suffers. It is not complete. Yes, we may find someone else to teach the children. We may find someone else to serve on the youth ministry team. But it won't be your gifts being used there. Maybe you were supposed to be that Sunday school teacher that child remembered all their life. The church needs you to use your gifts. God needs you to use your gifts for His kingdom's sake. Fifth question, what are the spiritual gifts? Through the years, there's been much study and debate. There are these two specific passages that I've read. There are some others throughout Scripture. There are the gifts of speaking in tongues and interpreting those tongues, which are not usually on the spiritual gift inventories of today. They are on some, but not on the ones that I use. And I think simply because I believe those gifts were for a specific time in the church's life. But the gifts that I'm going to list and mention to you are gifts that are relevant for today in the church. Study this. Look at these scriptures. Look at these passages. Study the gift of tongues. That's up for you all to determine what you believe. But the first gift, apostleship. Apostleship. What is that? Well, sending the church members out, anyone who believes they might be, will have the gift of planting churches or being a missionary. Apostles motivate the church to look beyond its own walls and carry out the mission throughout the whole world. From 1 Corinthians and from Ephesians 4:11. The second gift of prophecy. Proclaiming God's word boldly. This proclamation motivates people to and convicts them of their sin. It will manifest itself in teaching and preaching. The person with the gift of prophecy can apply God's revelation to a situation and helps mend broken relationships between God and His people. The next gift, evangelism. Those with the gift of evangelism are able to lead others to Christ. This gift builds up the body of Christ by adding new members to the fellowship. An evangelist has a heart for bringing unbelievers to Christ. Another gift, shepherding. It's demonstrated in those who look out for the spiritual welfare of others. Although pastors, like shepherds, care for the members, this gift is not limited to the staff. None of these are. I see many of you shepherding and taking care of this flock. Another gift, teaching. Those with this gift are able to instruct others in the truth of Scripture and to convey new insight into God's Word. They do this for the purpose of building up the body of Christ. Another gift of exhortation or encouragement. They can encourage others to become involved. Members with this gift are good counselors and motivators and people who can be enthusiastic about what's going on. Another gift is knowledge. It's shown in the teaching and the training of others in discipleship. The gift of knowledge helps to convey God's truth. And it's a God-given ability to learn and explain. Then there's the gift of wisdom. Those with this gift can discern and see the work of the Holy Spirit in the midst of the church and in the needs of the church. They're able to see resolution in the midst of conflict and apply it in practical ways. The next gift is service or help. Those with this gift recognize the practical needs and don't mind serving in the kitchen or in the bathrooms or wherever we need something done. It's every task that might seem mundane to somebody else, but it has spiritual value. They realize that this gift helps free others to do the work they need to do. They would rather do this job than to see somebody else do it. Another gift, hospitality. The ability to make visitors and strangers and guests feel at ease. They often open their home to entertain strangers and others. They can easily and joyfully incorporate new members into our church. Then there's the gift of giving. They give freely to the work and mission. They meet the tangible needs. And whereas we all should give to the work of the church, the person with this specific gift actually manages their own finances so that they can give over and above and beyond. They believe that's part of their helping in the furtherance of God's kingdom. And then there's the gift of administration. They help others to be organized and to remain on task. They develop strategies to help in the church. Then there's the gift of mercy. Through acts of compassion, the person with this gift will be able to empathize and help hurting members. They can show love and grace and dignity to people who are in hardship and crisis. They are concerned with social issues and those who are oppressed. The gift of faith. Faith, whereas we should, again, all have faith, this person seems to possess a faith that is absolutely unshakable in the midst of any circumstance. They act in complete confidence of God's ability to handle everything. Then there's the gift of discernment. The gift that helps, this person helps, can see the true intentions and motives of others. Distinguish right from wrong. And then there's the gift of leadership. They can build the body of Christ spiritually with grace and love by leading and directing other members to meet the goals of the church. A spiritual leader motivates people to work together for the common good. So after looking at this list, you may know exactly which gifts you have been given, and you may know exactly which gifts you have not been given. But you may wonder about some of them. And you may wonder, now, what do I do with all this information? Well, the final question is, where and how can I use my spiritual gifts? What does all this mean? Let me remind you again that your gifts are used for the building up of the body of Christ, for the edification of the church, and not just this church, but the church universal. This means that you can use your gifts wherever you go, at work, at home, in the grocery store, in the doctor's office, and yes, in your church. God needs His kingdom built wherever you go. The gifts are for His glory. Specifically in our church, we need you to use your gifts. The scripture is clear that says, if you've been given the gift of teaching, then you should teach. If you've been given the gift of encouragement, then encourage others. If you've been given the gift of helps, then help others. There are many areas in our church where we need your gifts and talents to find their place. There are many ways that you can serve. Many of you will remember Lillian Crawford, whose gift was encouragement. And she was well over 100 years old, and she would call you on your birthday. Several of you are shaking your head because you remember that. And some would say, well, I'm too old to serve. You're never too old to serve. You're never too young to serve. Joe tells a story of a homebound woman in his church in Drake's Branch who said, I am the most important woman in the church. Actually, she said, I'm the most important member of the church. Because every day she would take the list of church members and she would pray for different people. That's a pretty important gift. So we all have a role to play. So how will you use your spiritual gifts? Are you looking for a place to serve? Well, there's an insert in your bulletin that might help guide you. It's called Finding Your Place. There are lots of different places on there that we need your gifts to be put to use. And we need a lot of the folks who aren't here to put their gifts to use, too. Look over this list. Pray through this list. I ask you, please. There's also on the back a place for you to list anything you can think of that you might have had your heart's desire on for quite some time. On a personal note, I would say we need children's and youth ministry team leaders in a very, very, I don't want to say desperate, because we're not desperate. We know God will provide. But we need workers in children's ministry and youth ministry. Our children are relying on us to bring them into a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ and to mentor that through their years, their formative years. And right now, we need some folks who can step in and help make that happen. Wednesday nights, Sunday mornings, we need that. Phil needs helpers with youth ministry to be on that team, to help our teens as well. Please consider and use your gifts according to what God has called you and purposed you for His work in the world. The future of our church, the future of His kingdom depends on people such as us to be who are gifted and to use those gifts. If you want a spiritual gifts inventory, I have some this morning. If you're interested in doing that, I can send one home with you. Now, back to those folks who are unhappy in their jobs. I want to encourage you to remember that your work, your worship, and your witness in the world are all connected, and it's all God's kingdom. If you're unhappy at work, seek His will for what needs to change. Perhaps you need a job change altogether, or perhaps you just need to change something in your heart that's bothering you. Whatever the case, ask Him, and ask Him how you can use those gifts in your work. You may be in a place where you can't even talk about God at work, but you can still minister to others with love and kindness and mercy and help. And you can be different from others in your workplace. You can pray for your coworkers and that boss who is so demanding. Finding your place in God's kingdom means that you're glorifying Him with your gifts and witnessing in a world that needs to know Him. It's all connected. We don't have just church and work and home. It's all God's kingdom. So use those gifts where He's called you. I can promise you that your joy will increase and you will make a difference wherever and whenever you go. And isn't that ultimately what we want to do? Because it's definitely what God has called us to do. Let's pray. Father God, You have proclaimed and told us that we are gifted. You have given us gifts that are not meant for our purpose, but for Yours. And we ask that You reveal to us, speak to us, open our hearts to hear from You where You have called us to use those gifts. Whatever they may be, God. And wherever You are calling, may we go. Give us the courage to say, I'm following You, God. Amen.